You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Let us pray. Put your hands to the Lord and pray and ask the Lord to bless you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to speak to you. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is here to help you, to speak to you, and to guide you. All you need is a word from God. So lift your hands and pray. Say, Father, speak to me. A word. A word. A word from you. Just a word that your whole life will change and transform. Lift up your hands and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we say thank you for the opportunity to be here as your servants, as your children. Guide us, bless us, and lead us into your truth in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody shouted aloud, Amen. Please clap your hands for Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. It's good to see all of you. You are welcome to church. Welcome your neighbor. Smile at your neighbor. Welcome your neighbor. You know, sometimes you come to church and you don't even smile at your neighbor. You don't say hello to your neighbor. You know, make a new friend. Ask the person by you, by the way, I don't know your name. What's your name? Maybe you know the name of the person, but if you know the person by you, you have to ask the person behind you, I don't know your name. I see you in church. Do you understand it? Yes. Beautiful. Now, you'll be surprised to know that just asking somebody, how are you in church? You know, everybody is coming from different backgrounds, with different problems, with different situations. And you're being nice to the person by you. Maybe all that the person needs today. Do you understand it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So you need to understand that church is for fellowship. The fellowship that is among the brethren, okay? And you'll be surprised what that fellowship will do to you. The Bible talks about the fact that you see, the apostles, one of the things that they did was they were breaking bread, they were continuing the word, but one of the things that they were doing was that they continued in fellowship, okay? Because fellowship is important for your life to continue as a Christian. You cannot live in isolation. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to fellowship with the right people, to have the right company. And the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Okay? Iron sharpens another iron. So as you have come, you'll be sharpened by the countenance of your friend. Hallelujah. So what a blessing. This morning I'm talking about work. It's our year of work. And I'm talking about work. Hallelujah. How many of you want to hear about work? Tell somebody, work is beautiful. Work is dignity. Say it well. Say, work is beautiful. And work is dignity. So you don't have work, any work to do, and you don't have a beautiful life. And you don't have a certain dignity is taken from your life. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained before that we should walk in them. Do you get it? So we are his workmanship, created. He created us. By working, he created us. And he has created us unto good works. Here meaning that we should work. Okay? Good, or to good things. No. Give us King James. Unto good works. So we have been created for works. Tell somebody you have been created for works. Say it well, because some people think they were created for rest. You like sleeping too much. You always like rest. You're always looking for an opportunity to relax, to watch movies. Created unto what? When you come to church, you come to wipe out the misconceptions that are in your mind. Okay? You have been programmed wrong. Many of us are programmed wrong. It is the word of God that reveals to us the reality of God's word and the true picture that our lives are supposed to resemble. Do you understand it? It is the word of God that reveals that. So, like, as you have come to church, assume that you came with wrong thinking. Tell your neighbor, you came to church with wrong thinking. Now, the word of God is going to show you right thinking. If you don't see the word of God, you wouldn't know how to think right. Do you understand it? Because you don't know it. Okay? Now, how many of you know your face? You see, you can't know your face until you look into the mirror. You can't. So the Bible is the mirror that shows you your face. That's why this morning a lot of you looked into the mirror before you came. Amen. Because although you know how you look like, you can easily forget how you look like until you look at yourself. A lot of you like looking at yourself in the mirror a lot. You are looking at yourself. You like yourself. So you look at yourself a lot in the mirror. Okay. So, you don't know who you are and your full potentials until you look in the word. Then the word of God will reveal to you that this is actually the true you. So without that, you are actually groping in darkness, walking with wrong thinking, wrong assumptions. And assumptions lead to a lot of failure because you don't know who you really are. You are suffering because you don't know that you are not supposed to be suffering. You are defeated because you don't know that you're actually supposed to be winning. Do you understand it? So, the word of God is revealing to us that we are created unto good works. Good works. That means we are supposed to do some works. Hallelujah. So, this morning I'm introducing you to work. Work. Work is good. Now, one of the things that you have to know about work, all right, is that work brings satisfaction. All right, work shall be your satisfaction and happiness. Write it down. So write, work shall be my satisfaction and happiness. What will bring you satisfaction and what will bring you happiness is actually not rest. It is work. When I say work, I'm talking about work of all kinds. I mean good works. But I'm reading from the Bible that is telling us good works. So good works unto God. So as you are in church, your unhappiness as a Christian is as a result of the lack of work. Working for God and doing something in church and working is going to give you satisfaction. Satisfaction! You will be filled. There are things you do, you will not be satisfied. But when you work, you receive satisfaction in you, yourself, you'll be satisfied. Amen. So what's the point? Write the point. Let's read that point, Mark. Read out the point that I mentioned to you. What did I say? Work shall be my satisfaction and happiness. How many of you want to be happy? Sleeping will not bring you happiness. Working for God will bring you happiness. I want to tell you that working brings happiness. Working for God, doing something in the house of God, is actually going to bring you happiness, joy and happiness. The happiness you are looking for will come to you as you do something for God. Yes. How many of you want this happiness I'm talking about? Are you sure? You don't look like you are looking for happiness. You sure? John chapter 4 verse 34. The Bible says in John chapter 4 verse 34. Look at it. My meat. You see, when you are eating, the meat is in a nice. My meat. Jesus said unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish his work. My meat. Meat. You know, Ghana, we eat with little meat. But believe God that, look, when you are eating from today, the meat will be more than the protein, the carbohydrate part. Do you understand it? Yes. Meat. I think it's in the Southern African areas. But I asked of it in South Africa. I said, I've heard of something called chesenyama. Look, they will grill meat, a lot of it. And that's more of the there is no gari. There is no kinky added to it. It is just what? Meat that's grilled and you chew. I don't know whether you can imagine what I'm talking about. Are you imagining it? How many of you want to have such an experience? Nyama, enam, meat, grilled, whatever. But you see, that is protein. But here, when you eat, I remember a scene I've not forgotten. I was in first year in the university. And there were these two friends, these two guys. They were in the room before my room. I was in 315 and they were in 314. And they... One is very slim. Very slim. Slim. Very slim and tall. But they, and then the other friend, his friend, is a huge guy. I mean, very well built. He has a structure. I don't know who here can be that. Huge. Tall. And he was also a bodybuilder. Huge. And these two were friends. They're very slim. The two extremes. And they were close friends. I think they came from the same secondary school. They were friends. And they were in second year. And I was in first year then. And when you go and see them eating in the room, you see the two of them, they eat together. The two of them, they buy the kinky. Okay, that kinky. They don't eat things like rice and all those things. I didn't see them eat that. And then they have a container like paint. You see that paint container, the small one. And then the kinky balls are packed into it. And then they will sit on the bed and it will be under the bed. And then they have the plates with maybe pepper and maybe fish, two or three fishes. The pepper. So as they are eating, they will just pull it out. They'll collect the kinky and then they put it in, they'll finish it. You know, they pull it out from under the bed, and then they'll take maybe three, and then they push it back, and then they'll be eating it with the whatever. Where they'll finish and then they'll pull it out. So when you come, you wouldn't know what's really happening. The whole thing is under the bed. Balls. Hey, these guys. So I'm saying that Jesus is talking about the nice part of the meal, which is meat. So God's work, he said that my meat, what is nice for me is to do his work. What is satisfaction for me? Meat is the satisfaction. My meat is to do his work. Now this story is the time that Jesus was hungry. Okay, so the disciples went to get food. And then Jesus was sitting waiting. And the woman at the well came. And then Jesus started engaging her. And started talking to her. And then before we got to know, she gave her life to Christ. We got the first evangelist. The woman who came and said she had had four husbands, the one that she's even living with is not the husband. Charlie, she's into the men. Pa. This thing started not from yesterday. Started long ago. But the Bible says that Jesus told of the story. And she left her water pot and told everybody in the city about Jesus Christ. Look at that. Look at the story like that. What a dramatic transformation. Tell somebody, what a dramatic transformation. This woman left her water pot. She left her water pot. And then she went telling the stories about what this man has done. This is a man that I didn't know. But she has told me all my life story. All of it. And so Jesus was sitting. After this had happened, the disciples came back. They didn't know what happened. Well, they didn't know anything, so they come with the food and they asked Jesus to eat. And Jesus said this to them. That's why Jesus said this to them, that my meat. He said, oh, please, master, have some meat. He said, my meat is actually what I've done, the work I've done. Somebody who is hungry and has gone to work, he's now saying he's satisfied. If you are somebody who is into work, you love the work of God, you get satisfied not with food, not with banku kenke, rice and tilapia, fried rice, banku and tilapia, rice and fish, rice and chicken. That will not satisfy you much. But the work of God will satisfy you. Hallelujah. Yes. How many of you want to be like Jesus? My meat, your meat should be to do the will of Jesus Christ. Your meat should be to do the will of God. Your satisfaction and happiness should come from doing the work of God, I tell you. That should be your satisfaction. Are you there? What brings you satisfaction? You know, many things will not satisfy you. And Jesus Christ is pointing us to what brings satisfaction. The work of God will bring you satisfaction more than money can, more than riches can, more than food can. Many people are not satisfied with what they have. They are not satisfied with food. You eat and you still feel that you are not satisfied. You eat and you feel that you are not satisfied. You get to know that you are still not satisfied after eating. Not that you are not full, but you can feel that you are still not happy. You are not excited. There's no satisfaction. There's no happiness. But your meat from today will be to do the will of God. Hallelujah. The work of God is real work. So when you are in church, do something. Get involved with the work. Get involved with everything that is being done. Don't say that you are young. Actually, the work of God, I can see a lot of you. And the work of God, you are supposed to be the ones to do it. You know, Ecclesiastes 12. There's a scripture we all know. Verse 1. Give it to us. All right. The Bible says, remember now your creator. 12:1. Hallelujah. Remember now your creator. Thy creator in the days of your youth. This is the scripture. Look at it. Everybody should know. In what? The days of your youth. Your youth. This is the time to work. To move. It is not time to sleep. It is not time to rest. This is the time to move around. This is the time to work. This is the time to be involved. This is the time to be part of prayer meetings. To be part of fellowships. And to work. And to be leading. Do you know, if you check out the F-35 fighter jets and all that, the people who have been flying them are not old people, though. Young people, 19, 20, 21 years, 22. They are the ones who are fighting these jets. Now, these jets cost millions, $35 million and all that. Can you imagine? $35 million jets. Which people are flying them? Is it even dangerous to give a $35 million jet to a young person? What if they crash it? I mean, so all that money is gone. But young people are the ones who are rather flying these jets. That means that young people can be trusted to do important things. Are you understand what I'm saying? How many of you want God to use you to do important things? Hallelujah. So from today, may you join in whatever work. If you are sitting here, it means this message is for you. Tell three people around you that this message, not knowing that God brought you here this one only for you to hear this message. Tell the person by you. Sister, you are not telling anybody. You have to hear. When you don't talk, we'll call you. So tell the person by you that you have been brought here to do something for God. Tell somebody that you came, not knowing that you came to work for God. Yes, we will do it. We'll work. By all means, do something. You must do something. You must have a reward. Rewards are given to workers. So you must love work. Huh? You know, in the same breath, go to John 4. Okay, there's a scripture. Jesus says that, for he that reapeth shall receive, he that reapeth receiveth wages. The one that works is the one that receives wages. The one that is rewarded is actually the one that works. 38, go down. He that reapeth. Okay, I sent you to reap and all that. It's in the same John 4. So you can see that the one that reaps is the one that receives wages. 36. For he that reapeth receiveth wages. And gathereth food unto each other. So the one who receives wages is the one that has been working, not the one that is rested. So God is introducing you to how you can receive wages. Are you there? How many of you want wages from God? Charlie, God's wages are real. Listen to me. You've come not to listen to a lecture. You've come to receive from God. Believe in God, though. You must be a believer. You are too young not to believe. Tell somebody you are too young not to be a believer. You must have faith. You've not experienced a lot of broken hearts. Maybe one or two, but not many. But you can believe. You must believe. You must have faith. Do you understand it? You must have a lot of faith. You must have faith. If you don't have faith now, I don't know how you are going to have faith in the future. You must have a lot of faith. Believe in God. Believe in His promises. Believe in what the Word of God says. Believe. Your belief is to be in the Word of God. And the Word says this. That is what you must believe. Anything contrary to what God says is from the devil. It's of the devil. You don't have to believe that. Believe in God. Believe in His promises. Believe in the promises of God. Don't believe in the promises Satan brings to you. Believe in His promises more than the temptations that are presented to you. Believe in His promises that are in His Word. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to believe in the promises of God? Believe in His promises. Write down the promises of God. One day somebody... You know what? I want to tell you something. So God says you should work and you will receive. So write down the promises of, and read it every day and do it. And say, God, I'm doing this. I want this. I'm doing this. This is what you are saying. God will provide. Write them down. As you are sitting down, some of you don't even know the promises of God. You don't have it. You don't know what God wants to give you. So how can you really push and march on into whatever there is that God has promised you? You don't even have them. You've not written them down. You can't tell where they are in the Bible. You can't tell where they are in the Bible. How many of you are going to work? Work for God. Listen, I'm showing you. The Bible says that, Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 says that, you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless your bread. Those who serve and work are the people God will bless their bread and their water. Look at that. You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless your bread, and He shall bless your water. God is not just blessing everybody who is just calling out for blessings. He's not going to throw, He's not throwing blessings. The blessings of the Lord, they are not just, they are not like ripe mangoes on the tree that are falling off. They are not like mangoes that are on their tree. They are ripe enough and then they fall down. When you go in the morning, they are lying on the ground. That doesn't work like that. The blessing of the Lord says that you shall serve and He shall bless. Many scriptures to attest to what I'm saying. You shall serve and He shall bless. You serve. You work. And the work is satisfaction. You'll be happy working. Listen, you'll be happy working. You'll be happy working than staying idle. You'll be happier working in church than just coming to church and going back home. I came to receive a sermon. No. No. Tell somebody no. Tell somebody no. Yes. Don't just go to church, receive a sermon and go back home. Be in church and receive the word of God and do it. James chapter 1 says that we shouldn't be hearers of the word only, but doers. If we are only hearers, we deceive ourselves. He says that you are a deceiver. You deceive yourselves. Many of you are deceiving yourselves. Don't be one that is deceived. And you can't deceive God. You are deceiving you. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. I want to show you how to maximize your Christian life by walking in what God has promised in His word. Work and then He'll bless you. Amen. Now listen to this. You will receive an inheritance. When you work, you receive an inheritance. That's the next point. You will receive an inheritance. You will receive an inheritance. You must expect an inheritance as you serve the Lord. Expect. What are your expectations? You know, the Bible says your expectations shall not be cut off. But your expectations must be predicated on a very good foundation. That is the word of God. You cannot expect the bank to give you money when you don't have money in the bank. Do you understand it? You go to the bank to receive money because there's something there that you know you can go for. And when you are moving to the bank, you move with confidence. So we can also be sure of our inheritance once we serve the Lord. You can be sure of a promise that God has given you. He will provide you. He says that you seek first the kingdom of God, He will give you all things. Say all things. Yes.
You know you are young. Eh? You are young. You got to believe now. Because at the end of your life, it will be too late. It will be late. All these promises that are in the Bible, it looks like they are far-fetched. And they are not so close. And it's not. They are not real. They are writings. They are real. Believe them now. If you don't believe them, they will not come to pass. When you believe in them, they will come to pass. You must have faith and believe. You will receive an inheritance. Expect your inheritance in 2024. Expect. As you do something in church, as you join in the work, you must join in so that God will bless you. You know, it's not man's blessing. It's not man. Man cannot bless you. Man is not going to bring you the blessings you are required. God himself will give you. God himself will open doors for you. God himself is going to grant you an inheritance. The inheritance God is going to bless you with, they are much more than what a human being can give you. Yeah. The glory that comes from God, they are much more. Colossians chapter 3 verse 4. Look at Colossians 3. You can read it. Are you there? 24, rather. 3:24. 24.
Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. Those who serve the Lord, they will know that the Lord shall give them the reward of inheritance. Your reward is actually an inheritance. There are things that are currently with people that are going to come to you. Yeah. Do you know whatever you need is with somebody currently? Do you know that? You need money. That's why you need to know. You need to communicate. That's why we pray. But what we need is with somebody. So we talk to God. God, I need this. He has it, so he can give you. The car you need is somewhere. The house you need is somewhere. There's a room waiting for you. But you are groping, looking for a room to sleep in. But there's a room. One day, I was there and I received a call. And somebody called me and said that I have a friend in America who has a bungalow, has a story building, nice place and all that. He's looking for somebody to stay in for free. Hey! Look, walled house, story building, tiled, light, everything. How many bedrooms? Hall, about 3 bedrooms down, and I think the same up. He wants a human being to stay in for free. Beautiful house, beautiful place, beautiful environment, in a nice community, serene, beautiful, with water, light, everything, gated, free. I said, what you are looking for, somebody has it. Only you don't know. Only you don't know. You don't talk, that's why. Can you imagine that? How many of you would love to have a place like that? If I say I'm looking for, I have a place like that for you to say, you'd love for me to say, oh, Bishop, please, I'm here. How you see, many people will need that. Not one room more. At least, how many rooms? I think the rooms are 1, 2, 3, 3 or 4 bedrooms. I feel forgotten. I still have it, actually. But somebody is in it. For free. Say for free. Yes.
Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your of him, of the Lord. If it is God, dear, you will receive an inheritance. It's just a matter of time. Tell somebody, it's just a matter of time.
That's why if you are here, determine that you will be one who serves. Don't be a lazy bone. Don't be one that hides. Some of you are here in church and you're always hiding. And you're expecting that the Lord will grant you a certain blessing. You're hiding. You don't want to do anything in church. You don't want to be part of something God is doing. When the church is doing something, you don't join in. You see, you don't join in and you don't give yourself. Your money is different too. Yourself is different from your money. When you plant tomatoes, you get tomatoes. When you plant yourself, it is different. And the quality of your seed determines the quality of your harvest. So when you plant tomatoes and you plant cocoa, they are different. Cocoa seeds
will yield much more. You will earn more money from cocoa beans than from tomatoes. So that's why if you are the seed, it will also be different. So the quality of your seed determines, that's why seed time, that the seed and the harvest, they, you must always think about what seeds are you sowing. Some of you are sowing seeds of laziness. You are going to reap rewards of poverty, shame, lack. Well, nobody will remember you. Nobody will come to your aid. You think nobody sees you. People are watching you. And God is watching. God is watching us. There's a song by that. God is watching us. God is watching. You know, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord, it's in the Chronicles, First Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord, they move to and fro the whole earth, looking to and fro the whole earth, looking for the one whose heart is perfect, so that he will show himself strong. The eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord, they look to and fro the whole earth. Give us the scripture. They look to and fro the whole earth, looking for whose heart is perfect. Not a sly and a sneaky church member who's just dodging. I don't want to be part of this. I'm sneaky. And God will show himself strong and will bless those ones. That's a Bible. Read it. Read the Bible. I'm not. Everything I'm saying is in the Bible. Huh? Is there? Are you there? The eyes, God's eyes, they cannot hide. That's the Second Chronicles 16:9. Look at that. God's eyes are looking. Looking in the dark, looking in the daylight, looking everywhere. At your hostels, in your house, what God is looking. To show himself strong. To the one whose heart is not, he says, this heart is not perfect. This heart, you are not perfect. You are a sneaky guy. You are always lying. You are always hiding. You don't do what we are saying we should do. You are not. So he's not going to show himself strong. God is looking. You see, I can't see, but God is looking. Tell somebody, God is looking. Huh? Doc, is it true? What I've said, you see, I didn't, now you see the scripture. So what I'm saying is true, right? It's right there. God's eyes are looking. The eyes that can see everything everywhere. Yeah. There's a day coming and you will need it. You will need, you will remember what I'm saying. That's why you know that you need the help of God. And God's eyes are also looking to see who he is going to help. Who is he going to help? Is he going to help you? Because you have not been joining him. You have not been helping his work. Amen. May the Lord bless you with an inheritance. Amen. Amen. All right. So last week, I shared something on the work of God that I want all of us to be part of. Okay. In Exodus chapter 18, verse number 14. Downwards. Moses' father-in-law told him something. Because Moses was doing the work of God alone. Moses had about 3 million people. He had to judge and work on. You know, human beings, when you have human beings, okay, like if you are, we are like we are in Ghana. The reason why we have a president, and we have leaders, presidents, we have ministers, we have parliamentarians, and all that, is because the country has people, and it is called a country. A country is defined by boundaries, both physical boundaries and, you know, both physical boundaries and then constitutional boundaries. So if you say you are a Ghanaian, you are a Ghanaian because you are defined by the boundaries of the constitution. That I'm part of this, I agree to this constitution, that makes me a part of this, I am a Ghanaian. Do you get it? So the constitution, more of the constitution. Our constitution really defines that. You have agreed that you are part of this. You are born here, and therefore, you are part of the agreement we have made that every Ghanaian must pay tax. Every Ghanaian must pay VAT. Every Ghanaian must pay this. Every Ghanaian must pay this. That defines you. So anybody who, that's why if you don't pay and you don't do the right thing, it's like, no, this Ghanaian is a dangerous guy. We have to put him in prison. Also by the constitution. That's why, that's the whole thing. Do you get it? So you can't just do what you like. You cannot just get up and do what you like. So leaders are put in place to make sure that everyone go or flow according to what we have all agreed to do. Okay? That is why something like boxing. Boxing. Why do they box? Why should people box? It's like a game. Because they have agreed to box.
And the government says that you can box and beat yourselves. And then we'll get to know who is strong. Boxing. And they have registered it. And they have rules governing boxing. Because it's not a... What do you get by boxing? But it's a game. Do you get it? So what I'm saying is that that is what Moses was doing. Moses was judging the people. And Israel is actually defined a lot by the laws of Moses. The laws of Moses governs them. That makes them a nation. Okay. An Israeli or a Jew is defined a lot by the Jewish law. Which the Jewish rules and the laws are more rooted in the Torah or the laws. Do you get it? There are about 613 of them. They are confined. So wherever they are confined to those laws. So Moses was doing that all by himself. All by himself. Can you imagine? He sits from morning. And that's the judge. So I'm sitting down. Me come. And all of you, go and form a queue. And those of you here, join, please. We use a... Yes, brother, sister. I know you don't want to get up, but don't worry. God is blessing you. Amen. Just form a queue. Next set, please join. Okay. So come, what's your problem? Morning to leave it, though. That's what Moses is doing. And meanwhile, everybody here must come. And this is just one group, because this is the first service. The second service is even more than this. So, can you imagine? And there are more people that are also not here. They couldn't make it to church. Something is... So, that's Moses' work. Mika. So what's your problem? You're not fine. What's your problem? Why are you not fine? Headaches and all that. Have you eaten? So can you imagine? Then he says that he's not fine. And as I'm going into a headache, then I realize that he has not eaten. Then I'll ask you, but is your wife not in the house? Look at how problems are solved. Then I'll ask you, why have you not eaten? But you have a wife. You are your wife. You are single. Why have you not married at this age? Then I'll ask you, do you have a girlfriend? Then I'll ask the questions that will go into it. So we want to solve the problem. Because everybody has issues. So can you imagine one person who talk, because now we are identifying the headache. It's not fit. It started from, I'm not feeling fine. He has some headaches. But we are going into it. Maybe we also find out that he has a broken heart. That has also added to this. A lady, somebody has run away with his money. So we have to talk about that. We have to know how to retrieve the money that he's lost. Meanwhile, he's also hungry. And we can solve the hunger problem now, but we have to also stop the hunger problem from continuing. So how can he be fed on a daily basis? How can he get money? Then I'll ask, do you have a job? You are not working. So what have you been doing? You have been stealing a hair. Which people have you been stealing from? All these problems. Do you get it? So you can imagine that one person can take 30 minutes. Meanwhile, look at the queue. The person behind is even saying, oh, what can I do? Do you understand it? It's like that thing that you've kept too long. Meanwhile, the person at the back there, the person at the back is actually maybe dying of something, but this person's on his hand, and a whole lot of different issues, different problems, and all of that, Moses was doing that. This is just the first battle. You can imagine, even, I don't know whether I can do this one today. If I start now, today, from now till evening, these ones maybe I may not finish, depending on the type of problem. Meanwhile, I have to talk to everybody here. That means there's likely your appointment to be next week Sunday. Or maybe in 2 months. Because if you go according to this, then it means that in 7 days, we may not be able to exhaust all of you. Maybe this week. We'll be able to finish with this side next week, this side, the following week, that side. Hey! And some of the cases are said that you have to do a follow-up and capsule all of the back and forth. Thank you very much. You can take your seat. Now, that was the work of Moses. And then Moses was doing that. His father-in-law saw him in Exodus chapter 18, verse 17, verse 18. Let's see verse 18. Go to 18. Look at that.
Alright. Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. It's not good. Continue. 18. 18. Give us a lot. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and the people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. It's a lot of work. So a lot of people must be involved. So he gave them, says, hearken now unto my voice. I'll give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause unto God. Now, he gave them, and says that thou shalt teach them the ordinances and the laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. You see, so I want to just wrap it up here. So Moses eventually had to teach the people the laws and all that, and then he had to now take in leaders and assign them so that leaders can work together with him this task and also do this counseling and bring judgment to simple matters, issues that are not so complex, all right, so that the work can be done. Now, what I'm saying is that, just to wrap it up, which I'm sure God willing next week will continue, I'm saying that I'm introducing you to the work of God in the church. If we are going to do the work of God, we must break ourselves down to smaller numbers, fellowships. Do you get it? Everybody must be in a fellowship. From now till next week, you should have attended a fellowship. Okay? And somebody will teach and share the word of God, and we'll get revelations, and we'll pray. We have to pray. Prayer is important. Prayer in smaller groups. We don't only pray when we are in church. You have to pray in your hostels. You have to pray in your house, the area you are staying. There should be a small fellowship of about 10 people, maybe 8 people, maybe 12 people, depending on the area that you are in. I mean, the idea is to get to maybe 12. A small number, sharing the word of God, and then sharing fellowship and praying and receiving guidance. And if there are issues, they will come up. Somebody is sick, they can be visited. Somebody needs help. You realize that this person's help, we can do it. You get it. So I'm saying that these are part of the things that we do in church. So I'm introducing all of us to that work, where we'll be part of something great, where we will have fellowships, we'll do fellowship meetings. You'll be part of it. You see, you'll be part of it. The thing is that people are in church. You are a Christian in church. When things are said, you don't join. That is the problem. You don't join and you expect God to bless you. You exempt yourself. You exempt yourself from the things that are happening in the house of God. I feel that you don't respect the church. When you do that, you don't respect what the church is and what the church is and what the church does. You don't. When you do that, you don't respect the church. You don't. You feel that the church, oh, leave that. The church is a place that God's name is exalted. God's name is worshipped. And God's word is preached. And what God wants us to do, we do. Tell somebody, what God wants us to do, we do. Yes. We are not here to disobey God's word. We are here to do God's word. And that's why I've read to you scriptures. If you have written all the scriptures, you came to church this morning, you've written all the scriptures. By this time, I'm sure you have about 10 or more. You wrote them. You realize everything is in the Bible. I'm not telling Kwekwanasi stories. I'm telling you the word of God and what God wants you to do. So my brother, my sister, we're going to launch out into work and you are going to be a part of it. Tell somebody, I am a part of it. I am a part of this work. Say it well. Say it well. Say it well. Yes. Be part of it. Everybody can be a part of this. It's not only on Sundays that you should come to church. There are the smaller units, the big church. There's also the smaller units of church. I'm going to go into that some more next week. But God bless you. God is going to bless you. Exodus. Look. I'm going to give you your word of prophecy. Listen to that. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Give us Exodus 23, 25. The Bible says, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. He shall bless your bread and your water. The verse 26 says that, and I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. I'll take away sickness from the midst of thee. How many of you want healing? And I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. He says that there shall be none barren in all thy land. There shall be none. Promises are there. There shall be none barren in all thy land. I'll take away sickness in the midst of thee. The number of thy years I will fulfill. Look at such great promises. Don't you want such great promises? Don't you want such great promises? You shall serve the Lord your God. How many of you will serve the Lord your God? Okay, how many of you want to? You don't want to lift your hand. You want to serve Satan, your God. Huh? You shall serve Satan as your God. Or you shall serve the Lord your God. Those of you who want to serve the Lord your God, let me see by the showing of your hand right now. Beautiful. I can see servants of God here. Clap your hands for yourself. And he says that, and he shall bless your bread. How many of you want your bread to be blessed? That means that when your bread is blessed, they are multiplied. Your water is blessed. Your water is multiplied. Hallelujah. There shall be none barren in all thy land. He says that, and I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. There shall be none barren in all thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Such great promises. Look at that. Don't you want such great promises? There shall be none barren. Listen to me. All these things. That's telling us that everybody, God will bless you with your own child. God will bless you. God's promises are real. If you got to believe in them. You got to believe in them. God will bless you. God will help you. God will bring you children. God will bless you with children. Children will be your inheritance, your portion. Hallelujah. Amen. There shall be none barren. Sickness will not be your portion. You say, oh, I am SS. I am this. God is taking away every defect in your DNA. God is taking it out of your life. Any defect that was as a result of where you came from, it is by genes that you inherited, whatever there is that is worrying you today, you'll be healed. You'll be healed and you'll be a perfect and a normal child in the name of Jesus. You fall sick very often. The healing power of God. Look at that. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Lift your hand and say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus as I serve the Lord. It comes from serving God. It comes from serving God. He says that, and he shall take sickness away from the midst of thee. Those who serve and those who join, as you have come to church, you serve, you join everything that is being done. Oh, the Lord is taking away sickness. You will not fall sick. You will not go to the hospital. You will not have a surgery. God will deliver you. God will help you. You will not die. Look, people have died having surgeries. Somebody had died because there was a surgery and then the light went off and the person died. It happened. We are in Ghana. The light goes off now. It happens. But you will not be told that. One day, somebody was going to have a surgery. And whilst he was having, he told me this himself. Very complex heart surgery. Whilst he was going to have the surgery, in the room where the doctors were discussing and all that, he was ready for the surgery. Eh? I don't know whether they had just finished or he was ready or they were examining something. The doctors were discussing how that last person died because the light went off or the plug was. Do you understand what I'm saying? The same type of surgery with the same type of machines and all that. Then they were discussing, forgetting that the patient is lying down, who is actually praying that he will live? Heart surgery. And he said that the doctors were discussing the last time, whatever, the mistake of whatever, and the light went off or something, and then the guy died. When you hear this, will you not get up and go home? What a shock. Elder Mark, can you imagine? How? I mean, he told me this. So when he said, no, I will not go there again. He said, I won't go there again. I'll go somewhere else. How can it be? Doc, please get up. Are there no errors like that? Human errors. She's a doctor. Are there no errors like that? Real errors. The Lord will take up. So when you are not sick, be happy. Somebody died. I know of a chap, handsome. I mean, the woman's children, the most handsome of them all, died because, you know, we have IV and IM. You don't know, but it's a gas, the doctor, they will tell you. IV is through the vein. IM is through the muscles. You understand what I'm saying? Call it IM. So you give, so normal injection, they give it to your bum bum. Pew! It's an IM. Then IV is when they set the line and put it in your vein. Now, the normal malaria, anti-malaria medication, they don't put it through the vein. Like those Juvie, there's one bit that they used. They used to have Juvie. I don't know whether it's still there. It's Juvie. What do they give now? What do they use for? Artisan it now. There was one bead that they used to have. But the nurse, instead of giving it through IM, put it through the vein to the child. The child died. Oh, yes. The baby died.
I'm just saying that. When you are not sick, God takes away sickness from the midst of you. You are blessed. So that you will not even have to go under any such experiment. Somebody who is maybe under tension from something forgets and will make a mistake. Look, I can count some of these errors. No, doctor, sorry, she's not a bad doctor, but I'm just telling you that. When God, will you prefer, doc, will you prefer that they get sick and you treat them, or you prefer that they are not sick at all? They don't even come.
They shouldn't even come.
The doctor says that her prayer is also that you shouldn't even come. You know when that they are on night duty and then you come for us, we'll be behind her when you come. Because they want to sleep. They really want to sleep. They are on night duty. They don't want you to get sick. Don't have running stomach. Look, running stomach can kill you. Yeah. You have running stomach. You poop a number of times without, you know, receiving whatever fluids must come back and be played. You can die. You vomit a number of times. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. You vomit a number of times without anything. You can easily die. Then you could say, how many times have you vomited? 4 times. We have to give you something. Because you have vomited a number of times. Something has come out of you. That must be replaced. Are you there? So when God says that, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, it's a great miracle. Yes. May you receive this miracle. And it comes to people who serve. Be part of the people who serve. Hallelujah. You shall serve the Lord your God. May you receive the blessings of those who serve and work. I said, receive the blessings of those who serve and work. Receive the blessings of those who serve and work. This year, God will bless you. I said, this year, God will bless you. Yeah. This year, as you serve God and as you work, I said, God, He will bless you. Amen. Clap your hands together for Jesus. Stand to your feet. God will bless you. Oh, God will bless you. God will bless you. Father, we thank you for this great blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to serve you and to do. How many of you want to serve the Lord? Lift up your hand. You want to join in this? I say, God, I want to be part of those who serve. Lift up your hand. I'll pray with you. Father, thank you. Look at the hands of your people as they want to serve. Do you know something? I want you to, you know, I can see almost everybody's hand lifted up, but I want you to come and stand here. Even if everybody come, I'll pray with you. Just come. I want you to take a step. You believe God. You want to serve God. You want to be part of serving God. Come. God bless you. Just be here. Lift your hand. I'll pray with you. Just lift your hand. Just come. Father, thank you for this one. It's a step. Your step. You're coming to the front. It's a step. It's a commitment. Lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. You want to serve the Lord for Him to bless your bread and your water. This year, you want to make a commitment and say, Father, I will serve you this year. I will serve you. Time is running out. Time is running out. Time is running out. Time is running out. Those who serve, God is going to bless. There's a river of blessing flowing for those who are going to serve the Lord. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Make a speak in the next 30 seconds. You speak to God. Father, I want to serve. I want to serve you. Lift up your voice and pray right now. Pray and make a commitment to God. Speak to God right now. And say, Father, I'm part of those who are going to serve you. I want to be part of those who are going to serve you so that you will bless me. Bless me, Lord. Change my situation. Heal me, oh God. Give me long life, oh God. Give me health. Give me strength, oh God. In the name of Jesus, make a commitment to God. Everybody speaking. Everybody talking to God. Jesus is standing in front of you. He's listening to your prayer. What are you telling Him? What commitment are you making to Him? May the Lord hear your prayer. May He bless you. May He bless you as you serve Him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands, everybody. Lift your hands up. Father, thank you. Behold your servants. Behold your servant, your people who have come forth to serve you. They believe in the scriptures. They believe in your word. They believe in Exodus chapter 23. Verse 25. They believe in John chapter 4, verse 34. The Bible talks us and tells us that we serve the Lord and you bless us. You bless us. Therefore, they have come forth believing this word. Based on this word, they have stepped forward and they are praying, Lord. I pray for them. Father, Lord, help them as they have taken this bold step. Father, help them to see this realization as they serve you, walking around, serving you in your temple, serving in your church, that you, oh God, will open up the windows of heaven. are and bless their lives. Their wretched life. Lord God, we lift your hands. Receive grace on our wretched lives this morning. We receive grace and blessings in the name of Jesus. Bless your people in the name of Jesus. Long life. He will satisfy you with long life in the name of Jesus. As you serve him, you are receiving extension of days. You are receiving healing. You are receiving health. Your children and your blessing of marriage and the blessing of having children in your family. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. The Lord is your portion. The Lord will help you. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord help you. In the name of Jesus. I pray with thanksgiving. And everybody shout it aloud. Amen. Clap your hands together for Jesus. Go back to your seats.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidou@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.